Morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, of course, I want you to consider that you are indeed our honored guests, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I just want to ask you one favor, and that is, can you stay around just a little bit after services so we can get to know a little bit about you and you get to know a little bit more about us? Before I begin, I would like to say to everyone here what a pleasure it is serving and working at the South Fayette Church of Christ. I truly, me and my family and I are blessed to be a part of this local work. I truly, truly love my church. And if you're visiting with us this morning, and if you stick around like I suggested, you'll find out exactly why I love my church. This morning, we will be talking about the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. And if you can see behind me, I actually have a PowerPoint this morning. So it'll be a different flow for me. So just, hang on to your hats for this ride that we're about to embark on, this spiritual journey. But we'll be talking about the flesh and the spirit. And I want you to understand that the flesh and spirit battle has been around since the creation of man. We've had to battle with flesh and the spirit. Now, speaking of which, the question I want to ask you this morning is, which will you serve, the flesh or the spirit? And our subject text is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, which was read for us this morning. It's kind of funny not having the light right here this morning. So the first thing I want to ask you is, do we have freedoms in Christ? And the answer is yes. As Christians, we enjoy freedom in Christ. We are free from sin, according to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 34. We're free from the law, according to Romans chapter 7. In verse 6, and we're free from the traditions of men, according to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. I said it earlier during class that it is truly the desire of Christ that we be free. Again, this is not an idea. This is not something that he thought about flippantly. This is truly his desires that we are free. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, as we enjoy these freedoms, there's something that comes along with this. We have freedoms here in the United States of America. We have the freedom of speech, right? We have the freedom to bear arms. But with the freedoms that we enjoy, that does not give us a license to do whatever we want to do without restraint, especially when it comes to our spiritual walk with Christ. And if we're not careful about those desires of the flesh, it can wreak self-destruction. Listen what Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 has to say on the matter. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, the infallible word of God reads, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I'm here simply wanting you to look at, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." And to prevent this, Paul commands us to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." I want you to know, if we do so, saints, we will not succumb to the desires of the flesh. And whatever those desires may bring in fulfilling that desire of the flesh, we thereby diminish any type of consequence. We diminish any type of separation. We diminish us falling back into sin or submitting again to that yoke of slavery. So perhaps a good place to begin is asking these questions. Why should we make an effort to walk in the Spirit? You're talking about the Spirit thing. So why should I make an effort? Or why not just succumb to the flesh, right? Why not just enjoy this life? Why not just live it up, right? You only live once. Why not do everything that I want to do? Enjoy all the things that I want to enjoy. Spend money, live it up, laugh, drink, and be happy and be merry. Well, it's for a simple reason. And the first one is, the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. They are like two opponents. I was watching a boxing match last night, and the spirit and the flesh is like a boxing match. They're both a contrary to one another. And the spirit is punching the flesh in the gut, boom, and then the flesh is punching the spirit, boom, and then they're fighting, boom, boom. They're contrary for one another because they're fighting for your soul. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." You know there are some things you want to do that you shouldn't be doing. There are some desires that your flesh wants. There are some things that you want to do in the flesh, but your spirit man and woman is rising up and is telling you, no, you need to go left, but the flesh is saying you need to go right. The flesh is saying go the wide path, but the spirit is saying take the narrow path. They're contrary to one another and they're fighting for your soul. Now, is the spirit referring to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit? Well, I believe it has a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I believe this is because the context of the epistles certainly suggests this to be the case. Case in point, holy versus human, or holy versus the flesh. Through the Spirit, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. Paul's argument, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It would not make sense if it was talking about the human spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. And then it says, reaping everlasting life of the Spirit must refer also to the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. So while the flesh pulls you in one direction, the Spirit of God would have you go in another. So as Christians, we must serve one or the other. The question I asked you this morning, which will you serve? If you follow the lust of the flesh, you cannot do the will of God, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. And like the dilemma described in Romans chapter 7 verses 14 to 23, you can't follow after the flesh because it will enslave you. And then third, but with the help of the Spirit, we can overcome. Isn't that encouraging that we can overcome with the Spirit? But you know that you can't overcome with the flesh, but you can overcome with the Spirit. So we must choose who our master will be. You have to make your election sure. You have to make sure that you're after the Spirit and not after the lust of the flesh, because we cannot, saints, serve both. And the second thing is, if we're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And I love this. This is a beautiful thing, because if you are under the law, there are some things that happen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. So what does that mean to be under the law? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In the context, the law has a primary reference to the law of Moses. That's what this is talking about. And the purpose of the law was primarily twofold. The first thing was to reveal sin in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, why then the law? It was added because of transgression, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Then it also was put in place to condemn the sinner as guilty. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. To be under the law means this: you are under the state of condemnation. The reason why I like this is because when you're in the Spirit and you're following the Spirit and you're not under the law, then you can be freed from condemnation. Walking in the Spirit, you're not under the condemnation of the law. Obedience to the gospel revealed by the Spirit results in freedom. We always talk about we want to be free. Well, what kind of freedom do you want? What kind of freedom are you truly seeking? Are you seeking freedom of speech or freedom to bear arms or freedom to park where you want to park or live where you want to live or spend your money the way you want to spend? Or are you really worrying about the freedom to worship Christ and be in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, loving in the Spirit, serving in the Spirit? These are the things that we want to do and that we need to be focused on. And when you do that, you're free from condemnation, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and you're free from the law of death. The purpose of the law was to show you how inadequate you really were. It was to show you how much you needed God. There was no way for them to do all those things, and he meant it for it to be that way, because he knew that we needed a Savior. He wanted us to rely on him, knowing that you cannot do this without me. And that's a beautiful thing, that he came in the form of a man so that we could have an opportunity of everlasting life. So as a Christian, we have to serve one or the other. Now, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, I want you to know what will happen. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is one of those things that, that bothers me. Because if you do not inherit the kingdom of God, then that means you have won an all expense paid trip to the horrible abode of hell. And who wants to do that? And why would you do that? Why would you make your election sure for the flesh and not make your election sure to walk in the Spirit? Now think about this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, the Bible says this. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all these things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as you go through all these things and this long list of stuff, all of this deals with the flesh. All of this, sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, sorcery, this is all what you can taste, hear, smell, see. All the things that you can fear has nothing to do with your spirit man or your spirit woman. God is serious about this, and we need to start taking it serious where we will spend eternity. The end of those fulfilling the flesh is this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 7. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. It says God has a problem with your disobedience. God has a problem with you wanting to do it your way. God has a problem with you doing it your will way opposed to his will way. He has a problem with disobedience, and typically disobedience falls in the category of dealing in the flesh. And so he's trying to help us. So the question is this: what shall it be? Walk in the Spirit or fulfill the lust of the flesh? I mean, the choice should be clear, right? One offers freedom from condemnation, right? One offers you the hope of having the home of heaven. One gives you peace that surpasses understanding. One gives you all the things that the other can't. And one gives you the horrible abode of hell. One gives you a hard life. One gives you all the things that you know that you truly don't want to do, and they come with consequences. So what is your choice? Paul gives us two more reasons why to make the right choice. Those who are crucified with Christ have crucified the flesh. In Romans chapter 6, looking at verses 1 through 6, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We know that our old self, the one who did the things that were contrary to the will of God, should be dead. It should be done with. It should be over with. And yet he wants to rear his ugly head every now and then. But if you're walking in the Spirit when he comes, you're able to resist the devil and he will flee. You're able to stand for the truth where it matters. You're able to stand for Jesus when it really matters. And you're walking in the newness of life because you have crucified the flesh. The flesh is no longer your master, but the master who's above is the one that you serve. And when we died with Christ in baptism, we did that so we could be free from sin and live a new life with him. You know, I think about it in these terms when it comes to, I think it was brought up in class about the peace that surpasses all understanding. But I got a point from it. When you get news from the doctor that you have, I don't know, a year to live, what do you do? What's your reaction? I think you start eating healthier, start exercising, start limiting the activities you once did. You start caring more about your health. You start being more aware and studying on these things that you've been diagnosed with. You do everything in your power to try to live as long as you can and enjoy what rest of the life that you can have. When I think about that, we all have been diagnosed with sin. And it's a problem that's killing all of us. And I don't understand why we don't have that same tenacity and zeal to change once the news hits. The moment that you were in this world, you were born into a world of sin, born into a world of hate. And it was only because of the love of God, only because of his prescription that he prescribed that could heal you and save you from the imminent death that you are facing. Why don't we do the same thing? We all are facing death. So let me ask you a question. How many of us want to live? How many of us are willing to do and make the right choices concerning our spiritual health? It starts with dying to yourself and living for Christ. And as Christians, this is what we must continue to do. In Romans chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, we must continue to crucify self. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And these you too once walked when you were living in them." He's giving you the diagnosis. He's telling you right here, Put to death those things that are immoral, those things that are impure, those passions, those desires that you have that are evil. He's diagnosed us and he's telling you what you need to do. You need to choose to serve God. Sexual immorality, evil doing, idolatry, it is killing. Putting off the works of the flesh is fundamental in your Christian walk. It's necessary. It's a fundamental practice. It's like basketball or football or baseball. You got to practice it. You got to hone your craft. When are we going to hone our craft in serving God? When are we going to try to do everything in our power to be as successful as we can possibly be in serving God? I just want you to know, if you feel like you are alone, you're not alone in this effort. Paul indicated in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, it is by the Spirit we are able to put to death the deeds of the body. The Spirit is important that we walk in it. That leads back to the fifth and final reason that we should walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. When one responds to the gospel of God's grace, they are renewed by the Holy Spirit. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Right? Not by works done with us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing and the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who made the gospel known to mankind. We owe the Holy Spirit our spiritual lives. We owe it all to it, right? And Jesus said that he would in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. The apostles attribute the gospel to the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. And again, I read that he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing, the regeneration, and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit gives us new life. I don't know about you, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And you telling me you don't think you need to be walking in the Spirit? You don't think that you need to be serving the Spirit instead of serving the flesh? This is a great reason why we should, because the Spirit gives you new life. You are a new person. You are a new creature in Christ. You're not the same person you once was. You're not doing the things that you used to do. You're not living the way you used to live. You're not walking the way you used to walk or talking the way you used to talk, surrounding yourself with the people that you used to hang around. And your worship isn't the same. Your love for God isn't the same. Your prayer life isn't the same. The way you sing songs isn't the same. And I say it all the time. I really believe sometimes when we come into service, I'm telling you, we look like the walking dead in every aspect of the word. Our singing sounds like that sometimes. Our prayer life is like that sometimes. When we come together, it's like that. But we have to start living a better and new life. Be rid of the old man and live for God. And since we do that, since we live in the Spirit, shall we not walk in the Spirit? We should live our new life. We should be led by the Spirit according to Galatians 5:18. And we should walk by the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. In conclusion, there were five reasons why we should walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The first one is the Spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. They cannot coexist. That's almost like you trying to breathe and drink water at the same time. It's impossible. You'll choke. You gag or whatever. It's impossible. That's what the flesh and the Spirit is like. Secondly, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're free from condemnation. You're free from that burden of sin. You've been set free. And in that freedom, you don't have a license to live the way you want to. You have to live it to the will of God. Third, fulfilling the lust of the flesh means that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's kind of like when your mom says, if you do this, this is the consequence. Right? If you run a red light and they take a picture, you will get a ticket. If you don't pay your taxes, the IRS will start sending you bills. Right? So I'm saying to you, if you fulfill the desires of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Four, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh. If you're truly in Christ, you're truly converted. You've crucified the flesh. You're no longer the same person you used to be. In every sense of the word, you are a new creature in Christ. And last, since we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. The only thing that I can think of is the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. And the question is, which will you serve? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can enjoy the freedoms of being in Christ by becoming a new creature, by being baptized into Christ, by dying to your old self, rising up a new creature, serving Him with every fiber of your being. You can do that today if that's your desire. And if you are a Christian and you have obeyed the gospel and you've been in the church your whole life and yet you have been knocked down, and yes, you've been in a battle, and the flesh and the spirit have been boxing for a long time. It's a straight UFC battle in your life every single day. And you need the prayers of the church. If you need to repent of a sin that you have done publicly, whatever your need be, make it known to God. Let it be known that you are serious about serving Him and loving Him and walking in the Spirit and not serving the flesh. If that is your desire today, please come as together we stand and sing.